All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way we live. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. We're talking summer camp this week, and we want to introduce you to a sort of controversial camp director. Matt Smith's family has been running the Long Acre Camp in Newport, Pennsylvania for nearly four decades. And this summer, he has a new and unusual policy. His campers will be able to do something they've never been allowed to do before. They can use their smartphones, their iPads, and, well, any tech gadgets that they pack from home. Because when camp kicks off this week, Longacre has a new anything-goes policy when it comes to tech.
It was a really hard decision, and it took us a long time. But our logic is that here at Longacre, we are preparing kids for long-term success, giving them life skills. And even though they enjoyed, many of them, summers at Longacre without technology, as we followed up over the year, we found that they really weren't adjusting their behavior. Too many of them were falling back into old habits and just resuming old tendencies with their technologies.
What do you mean by that they're falling back into their old behavior?
Well, for example, they're attached to their smartphone, and they're, I don't want to use the word addicted, but they're addicted to their phone and to messaging and to being online, and they get caught up in it. And many of them can even identify that they don't like it, but they just don't have the skills to manage the access to their technology.
Well, I don't know. I feel like going to summer camp, in my mind, I'm like, surely this is the best time to give a kid a break from their gadgets, to swim in the lake and smell the proverbial roses and maybe get kissed for the first time. Isn't that what it's about?
I think you're right. Ultimately, though, for us, what our purpose is to give kids life skills. They don't know a world without a smartphone. And so ultimately what we want to do is give them skills to manage their access to their devices.
So you're talking about coaching the kids with their gadgets. How are you going to do this? Are you going to have, like, macrame from 10 to 11 and then iPhones from 11 to 12? Like, what's the plan here?
Well, the most important thing that we do at Longacre is model appropriate behavior. Our older kids are coming back to Longacre to take more responsibility because they want to develop their leadership skills. And so these are also the coolest kids. And the coolest kids are on board with this policy, as are the staff. So the first piece is modeling appropriate behavior.
Okay, so that means that, like, the counselors aren't going to be on, like, Facebook all day long or Snapchat.
Exactly. They're only using their phones for business purposes.
I mean, I guess it's also useful to have these gadgets considering, like, that's how we get our music these days. I'm assuming you don't have, like, a stereo set up with cassette tapes or CDs, right?
We really have been relying on the radio for a few years because we've had no iPods. And we say, bring your CDs, kids, bring your CDs. And you'll maybe have two kids who bring CDs because these kids don't have CDs. It used to be that these kids would come from all over the country, different cultures, different neighborhoods, and they would all bring their own music, and it was like a festival. And now we're only listening to one top 40 station. So hopefully that will go the way of the wind.
I mean, the other thing that you got used to get anyway when you went away to camp was, like, time away from your parents, no contact. The thought of getting text messages from my parents all day long, yikes.
And that is one of the challenges that we're going to face. We've already begun talking to parents about the importance of giving their kids space while they're at camp so that they can individuate.
Are you modeling yourself off another camp that has this policy? I was wondering what other, your fellow camp directors, what they think.
We certainly are not. We couldn't find another program, a residential program that did this. There are certainly travel programs and academic programs that do it, but not residential. And that was one of the biggest surprises, was the reaction from other summer camp professionals. I think the idea of allowing technology in a traditional camp setting was, I don't know, it provoked a strong reaction.
Okay, last question for you. We've got you on like a crackly kind of phone line, and I have this romantic vision of you being in like a log cabin up in the woods right now. But Matt, how's reception up there? You got some Wi-Fi or what?
I can't believe how often I get that question. That's like the first question I get from the 14-year-old is there going to be Wi-Fi? And this is, unfortunately, there is going to be Wi-Fi, but staff only. It's going to be a secure connection.
Matt Smith is the director of Longacre Camp in Newport, Pennsylvania. Matt, thank you so much. Good luck this summer.
Thank you.
We wanted to get some context about what most summer camps' policies are these days when it comes to campers using iPads, in addition to rowing canoes and eating s'mores. So we checked in with Peg Smith. She's CEO of the American Camp Association.
Camps have always adapted to changing societal needs and demands. That's why we've been in existence for over 150 years. But it goes from one extreme to the other. Some camps that will allow iPhones for teens when they're on trips, some that will allow games that can be played without an internet connection, some will allow iPods but no earbuds. And then it goes to the extreme that, you know, if you're caught with a phone, it's confiscated, and then there's a $25 fine at the end of the camp to get it back. But by and large, 74% of our camps still do not allow personal electronic devices. So it's very unique to camp to camp, but the majority of the American Camp Association camps are not permitting personal electronic devices at camp.
Are there, as far as you know, are there any other camps that come to mind who have an anything goes policy?
I don't know of another. We did a quick sort of call out to a number of our camps before talking to you, and the kind of feedback we got was just what I was expressing to you. You know, it's interesting. I mean, camp is that unique opportunity to become unplugged and interact with nature and peers and role models on a deeper level, and there are fewer and fewer of those opportunities available for kids today. And so I think technology, we appreciate and we understand it, and it certainly is a different relationship with kids and parents as it comes, you know, it's related to technology. And we certainly have seen an increase in the partnership between parents and camps when it comes to technology. But kids still are generally unplugged at camp, and kids seem to adapt to being unplugged at camp much more readily than the parents.
Really?
I think so. I mean, we're very used to, as parents today, you know, of having immediate access to our kids through some electronic device. And so it's really the kids who seem to adapt easier to becoming unplugged at camp than it is the parents. So that parent and camp director relationship are really important as to understanding when is the camp going to get a hold of them, under what conditions, what are the policies about electronics. So the good news is I really feel that the relationship between the camp directors and the parents have really increased as technology demands and expectations increased.
If a camp director came to you and said, you know, I'm getting a lot of pressure from parents that they want their kids to be more accessible, they want to know they're okay, they want to text with them, what would you advise to the camp director in terms of making that decision whether to go gadget-free or not?
There are several things that we see that the camp will look at when they're trying to make those decisions. One is just practicality. The fact is some of our camps still are remote enough that there's not strong, consistent connectivity, and so it just ends up being an exercise in frustration. And so the practicality of technology, also it depends on the camp in terms of, you know, if you want to avoid situations where items are lost or stolen or it's just distracting to your program. The second thing a camp will look at is how it relates to their mission. And as I said before, so many camps, it is their opportunity for kids to become unplugged. I mean, kids are spending half as much time outside as they did 20 years ago. 50% of our kids are not getting even the 60 minutes recommended physical activity a day. So they look at their mission. Is their, you know, mission really around authentic social connections? Is it around connecting kids back to nature, which has true value when it comes to reducing stress and your own health. So practicality, you know, and mission and purpose of the camp, as well as just the connectivity piece. So they have to look at all of those things and make a decision. And they look at their marketplace. You know, what are the parents willing to tolerate? Many times parents just want to know if they need to, they can get a hold of their kids. And most camps, even camps who do not have electronic policies, can give parents reassurance of when and how they can get a hold of their kids.
Peg, have a great summer. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All this talk about being out in the woods with a smartphone but no Wi-Fi or much of a cell signal got me wondering, what could these campers actually use their phones for? Okay, they probably have the Angry Birds app, and hopefully they've downloaded the flashlight app, but have they found, yes, it's true it exists, the bug spray app? Don't laugh. If you live in New York City, you know that the mosquitoes have gotten fierce in recent years. I decided to test out this app with the toughest tech critics I know, my children.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. So, what do I have?
Your iPad.
Right. And where are we?
Outside.
And what is the big problem when we're outside?
Mosquitoes.
That's right. So, look what I put on my iPad. What does it say?
Bug spray.
It's an app for bugs, bug sprays.
Huh? Press the button and let's see if it makes the mosquitoes go away.
Should I do it?
I don't know. Do you hear anything? I guess that's the point, is that we don't hear anything, right? Let's put on the beep. Here's my question for you. Do you think it's working?
Yes. Yes.
How do you know?
Yes.
How do you know?
Yes.
Okay, you say yes. Why do you think it's working?
Because this is beeping and those are, things are moving.
Yeah. And what's it supposed to do?
Take away the mosquitoes.
So how do we know if it's working? How will we know if it succeeded?
When it beeps?
Or if there's no mosquitoes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are there any mosquitoes around us?
No.
So do we think it worked?
Yes.
Well, as you can hear, kind of hard to tell if the bug spray app is effective. And maybe you're wondering the same thing about Longacre Camp's new gadget policy. Let us know if you think it's a waste of time or valiant forward thinking. We're on Twitter at New Tech City or just go to our website. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.
A mosquito! I see a mosquito!
Where?